This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're glad to be joined by Russell Baxter, one of our favorites, to be able to spar intellectually with on the National Football League as he gets up early with me. How are you, Russell?
I'm doing terrific. We haven't talked a while. How are things going for you?
Doing well, man. I am trying to figure out if in today's NFL, if I was to ask you to give me, how many teams would you go down, would you list as saying you believe are complete teams? Meaning all three facets of the game, you are completely sold. That is a complete football team.
Well, there's one that stands out, okay, without going through the all 32, and that's
sure.
The New Orleans Saints. And it shows you why they've been able to continue to succeed without the man who's thrown for more passing yards than anybody in NFL history. And they've kind of built the team this way
sure.
The last few years. How many times have we seen Drew Brees throw for 5,000 yards and then finish 7-9 or not make the playoffs?
I think it was like 3 years in a row, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they went 7-9, 7-9, 7-9. Bueller.
Yes.
But it's amazing when you have balance and you have Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, and now you have Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray, and you don't rely on one person. One-dimensional football does not work in this league. I've thrown out this number before. I think I've done it to you as well. 53 years of the Super Bowl, I'm still waiting for the first quarterback to lead the NFL in passing yards and his team win the Super Bowl the same season.
It's crazy. Can I ask you this? If there is a shocking stat to me, and I've been trying to do some research on myself to go back and say, we are now going to be 6 weeks into the NFL slate after today, and home teams are under 500. Does home field advantage truly, is it something we just talk about in sports talk radio and television media and things like that, where it really doesn't matter as much as it used to? And if you have any theories about why that is?
Well, I don't have to have any theories because you said it really, really well a couple of days ago. The changing of the stadiums, I'll just throw a couple of examples. Even though it was a concrete palace, Three Rivers Stadium was very loud.
Oh, it was loud.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, loud. I mean, I remember fans in there 40 years ago at a fever pitch if the Steelers had a chance to pitch a shutout, much less win a game. What was that? Mile High Stadium? Okay.
Oh, yes.
I was there for a playoff game. And probably to me the most glaring example was watching those stands back bounce up and down at RFK.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, yeah. I was in the press box for a preseason game there, and you could feel it. It was a preseason game, John. You don't really have that anymore. I understand, you know, you build these other stadiums. It helps you with your revenue. For some of the teams, it's helped them, pay bonuses and because they manufacture more money and so on. But I think that that's a big part of it. I also think that younger players now are, it's just like younger quarterbacks. They're so used to now playing in these big settings. Okay. And you know, as well as I do, college football draws bigger crowds because of their stadiums, you know,
100,000, 85,000, 90,000. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, I think it's just being more acclimated to what's around you. But I sincerely believe the stadiums and, you know, that factor leads a lot into it. I mean, yeah, you don't see it. We've seen weekends in the playoffs where home teams couldn't dominate. So it goes to show you it's really what's on the field and so on. And, of course, you got the New England Patriots who win everywhere.
We got our father-daughter Eagles trip coming up in November, my daughter and I, Russ, I've been taking her since seventh grade. So seventh grade on, her and I go by ourselves and we go up for the weekend and we go to an Eagles game. I never would have done that with my daughter if the vet was still the setting. I never would have done that. I wouldn't have taken her into the stands at the vet. It's a completely different thing. I would have made her wait till she was an adult, and it's a different animal. What do you think of the NFC East, by the way?
It's funny, those cookie cutter stadiums. I actually had this discussion 2 days ago with somebody, John. Somebody put up a picture of Riverfront, the Vet, and Three Bridge Stadium, and tell me which one is which.
Right, it's the same stadium.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of the Eagles and the Cowboys as they sit through five? Because I really believe, and it might be, I'm blinded a bit, but I think the Cowboys had a golden opportunity to sort of go run away and hide a little bit. And they gave up that Giants, Redskins, Dolphins to start the year. And now five games in, that's the Eagles' December. The September for the Cowboys, where you get the trifecta of 3 weeks in a row, Redskins, Giants, Dolphins, the Eagles get that in December when they're trying to get wins to get to the postseason. I have a feeling they opened up the door. The Cowboys opened up the door for the Eagles to be able to get the NFC East. Am I looking at it wrong?
No, I don't think you're looking at it wrong at all. And see, to me, when I see teams struggling and yet have a slew of divisional games remaining, to me, it's not time to push the panic button, because the only way you're going to advance is to have the opportunity to play those games. Okay. Philadelphia
right.
has played the Redskins within the division. They haven't, Dallas and Philadelphia haven't played yet. Okay. I look at Dallas defensively, the last couple of weeks. I mean, I know they held New Orleans to four field goals. Okay. But
right.
Teams move. I mean, the way Aaron Jones and the Packers offensive line was able to move them around last week was a little concerning. They almost took advantage of what they had there. I mean, and you know, Dak throws for a ton of yards, et cetera, but, you know, Philadelphia to me has been very erratic. They've been very sporadic offensively.
Very sporadic.
Yes. And, you know, and defensively, last week was big plays. Defensively, they got two defensive touchdowns at the expense of the Jets. So per usual, and I'd say the last 4 or 5 years, trying to figure out these teams early in the season when they're still, you know, some are dealing with injuries, some are just dealing with the fact that they had a lackadaisical preseason. Don't you find it funny? And I want to say the Eagles were 4-6 last year and made the playoffs. The Cowboys were 3-5 and made the playoffs.
Correct. And the Cowboys won the division.
Yeah.
And they were 3-5.
They were able to sweep the Eagles.
Right.
And did it pretty impressively, especially that Sunday night game at Philadelphia. So, I mean, I know they're up ahead as well, but there's something that seems amiss with Dallas. And I know a lot of people like to point the finger at Dak Prescott and so on, but I don't think they're getting the heat on opposing passers like they thought they would. I mean, they've got two of the best young linebackers in the league. I mean, they're pretty solid at cornerback. But
sure.
They have not, these last 2 weeks, they have not played complimentary football. And
no.
I think you might be right. And, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, how long ago was it? It was 3-0 and another team was 1-2.
I mean.
And it's amazing what happens in 2 weeks.
The Eagles, December. They get the Giants twice, one of them on Monday Night Football at home. They get the Redskins once. They get the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And they get the Cowboys at home the Sunday before Christmas. I mean, that looks like if they can just stay close to Dallas, that looks
right.
like December would be a big advantage.
Right. Listen.
If they could just keep close.
To me, Atlanta right now is struggling mightily.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll have to explain. I mean, watching last week and, you know, whatever's happened to them defensively. But I will just also point this out. They haven't played anybody in the division, and they have a five-game stretch against the division. I believe it's after their off week. That's when you really, again, that's when you really decide what happens. I mean, today, you know, the London game's in 2 hours.
Right.
Okay. Carolina's hot, 0-2, now 3-2. Tampa Bay is a roller coaster. But if the Buccaneers sweep the Panthers because they beat them earlier this year,
there you go.
That changes a lot for both teams.
All right, I need you to stay on your game, and we'll look forward to catching up with you later on in the season, brother.
You can count on that, sir.
I'll be watching. Follow Bax Football Guru on Twitter. You're going to love his work, too. Bax Football Guru is great. You can find him at FanSided and more. The man is ubiquitous. He's everywhere.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.